1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's promising unwavering support for Israel after meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem this morning.
What happened on October 7th was an act of unparalleled barbarism, and what's happened since then have been repeated acts of unparalleled barbarism on the part of Hamas.
We're learning more about the investigation into last week's assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Utah. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in St. George.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. His family and those that are close to him are cooperating.
Officials say that includes his roommate and romantic partner. 15-year-old adolescent star Owen Cooper is now the youngest male actor to win an Emmy.
I think tonight proves that if you listen and you focus and you step out your comfort zone, you can achieve anything in life.
A first for Stephen Colbert's now canceled late show, It Took, Best Talk Series. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Missing 6-year-old Ruby Lehman was found on Saturday. According to a press release from the Portage County Sheriff's Office, Jordan Coyle's white Ford was found shortly before 2 p.m. on Saturday, September 13th. The vehicle was found in the Almond School Forest. Assistant Chief Noel from the Plover Police Department saw flattened grass tracks leading into the area during a grid search. After a ground search, Ruby and the suspect, Jordan Coyle, were located a little before 5 p.m. Coyle was taken into custody without incident. Ruby was assessed at the scene and transported to the hospital. She appeared to have no physical injuries. Sheriff Mike Lucas said at a press conference that Ruby was a little scared when law enforcement arrived on the scene, but appeared to be in good spirits. Coyle was taken to the hospital for medical clearance. Approximately 50 local, state, and federal officers assisted in the search that began last Thursday. The investigation is still underway. Wisconsin Rapids Police are asking for help after a house fire on September 12th. It happened in the early hours of Friday morning. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department responded around 1:50 a.m. to the house in the 1500 block of 17th Avenue South. The people in the home safely exited and the fire department quickly put out the fire. No injuries were reported. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department is asking residents in the area who may have surveillance footage from around the time of the incident or anyone with information to contact Detective David Bailey at 715-421-6236. The Wildwood Zoo has 3 new animals who will act as long-term ambassadors for conservation education. 3 young female owdads, also known as Barbary sheep, are settling in at the zoo. These endangered African natives were introduced to the U.S. in the 20th century. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers back in practice today, getting ready to head to Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. Baseball. It turns out that Bob Uecker, before he died, wrote a letter to the team that if the Brewers reached the playoffs, they could open and read it, which they did Saturday night in the clubhouse.
I got a letter today from Uke. Before we toast, I want to read it. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. Told the big guy about you guys. Play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in the group with this uncommon goodness. Enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Hard work is the foundation of the job site. Boot Barn Work and Carhartt are committed to supporting the hard workers that keep our nation moving. Boot Barn Work proudly offers a broad selection of Carhartt workwear and boots, known for durability and quality since 1889. When the work is relentless, Carhartt is trusted to finish the job. With so much on the line, there's no room for cutting corners. Carhartt at Boot Barn Work.
You can support your natural defenses, increase wellness, and propel your health to the next level in 100 days. If everyday life is a struggle, you have concerns on viral activity, or need a general shift to greater wellness, visit Family Natural Foods today. All natural products can increase immunity, bolster your first lines of defense, and help you thrive in today's fast-paced world. Enzyme Defense for Immune Health and Mucus Stop for Allergies and Congestion are on sale. Stop in today. See what Family Natural Foods can do for you. West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternand. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning again. It is 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 15th. Parker Olson producing us down in Madison's Studio A2. We've got Jocasta Zamarripa coming up. She's a member of the Milwaukee Common Council, a former state legislator, and now a candidate for Wisconsin's Secretary of State. The visit comes on the day of an announcement by State Senator Kelda Royce that she is getting into the governor's race, so she will be joining Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley on the Democratic side, all competing for the nomination in August of next year to run for Wisconsin governor. While we're in Madison, let's head down the hallway to Studio A1, where we find John and Gordy from our Madison station WMDX there. Emmy award-winning John and Gordy, or at least, I mean, you don't know that they're not. Because they were given Emmys to like so many different things I've never heard of before, that why wouldn't John and Gordy win an Emmy too for some channel that I've never watched before? Way to sell you guys. How are you?
Well, thank you. I agree. You know, we're waiting for that notice in the mail from the Emmys. One of these days we'll get it.
Well, we're
up for the best of Madison in Madison Magazine, Milwaukee Magazine. We're here in Madison. We're up for the best of Madison and
best radio team.
I have a feeling that we're going to win, Pat. I'm just going to
jinx us.
I'm going to feel good about it now.
Can you keep your acceptance speech to 45 seconds or less?
That's right.
That was the challenge last night on the Emmys. Yeah.
That was an unusual little ploy, and it helped him make it through the program.
Well, and I also think, it was a nice device or crutch, depending on your point of view, to have. And let's face it, the Boys and Girls Club made well more than $100,000 by the time. I mean, you can't buy that kind of advertising. And kind of support really that they
can. Yeah,
so,
that's a good idea.
So it was a good move overall. Now, Sherry and I did watch it. We did get through many categories saying, never saw it, never heard of it, don't want to watch that. There's one I've heard of. And then, of course, that one didn't win. So I guess we're just uncultured slobs. I don't know.
The thing that bothers me is that Apple TV has all these award-winning shows, and who has Apple TV anyway?
All these others that, you're going to pay this much for the Hulu and this much for Apple TV and this much for Netflix
and Prime.
And I love that they're all talking about, let's make it easier to let's bundle some of these so that you can just pay one bill. Yeah, it was called cable. So you guys weird that up.
That's right. Yeah, we warned everybody, if you want to separate all this stuff out and pay individually, you're going to pay a whole hell of a lot more. Were we right?
Mm-hmm. I mentioned during the 6 a.m. hour, and I want to bring it up again, that there was this one moment, though, that was especially telling. When they honored the Golden Girls on their 40th anniversary, And there were some folks, Reba McEntire and others, who came out and sang the theme song, Thank You for Being a Friend, by Andrew Gold. And you could see everybody in the crowd was mouthing the words because everybody knows the words. People were moving to the music. And I'll give Sherry credit for saying it first. She's like, see, that's what TV used to do. We all know the words to that because we all saw it. Because we'd all come together and watch the same few programs. I defy you to come up with anything even close to that from nowadays when people would go, oh, yeah, I know that theme or I know that show. It just doesn't, TV doesn't do that for us anymore. It fragments us as much possible.
Only that, but they don't do those kind of little theme show songs at the beginning of shows anymore.
Yeah.
They just start the show, you know,
yes,
without.
They do.
Those were really nice because it kind of set you up for what this show is about, you know?
Yes, exactly. Now, I mean, there's limited exceptions. Tony catches one on YouTube. Hey, Game of Thrones brought us all together. Yeah, kind of. But again, not everybody had HBO. You know, not everybody was watching it. And frankly, the theme, while compelling, was also really depressing. Dun-na-na-na, dun-na-na-na, dun-na-na-na. It's like, oh, yeah, let's get happy and watch a dragon roast somebody. That's some good family viewing right there.
Yeah, I think Penguin brought everybody together, though. But,
Penguin?
Where was that on? What? I saw that. I'm like, who's got a show called Penguin now?
Well,
I don't know.
I think that was on Max. The thing is, it's a very dark series.
Well,
No, it's not going to bring people together necessarily.
And again, as somebody who grew up on the Adam West, you know, Burt Ward version, the campy TV one.
Yeah.
I didn't mind when the first couple Batman movies were a little bit darker. It's like, you know, it's a crime series. It's a comic book thing. But I mean, now it's gone to this place where it's just unwatchable unless you really get into really dark stuff and, you know. That's definitely not my cup of tea. But
it was a really good series, though. Very, very odd and strange. And the villain in it won an Emmy last night. She did such a fantastic job. I can't recall her name, but she did such a great job. And to see her out on the stage, exuberant, even that shout, that yell that she gave for winning the award was just so much fun. I mean, she really, truly enjoys getting into the acting.
Did she swear too? Because it felt like every other, again, the thing that made it tough to watch on a broadcast network was everybody felt the need to, you know, drop a naughty word and then there'd be that 7-second delay, you know, and then you'd start to hear the show again. And I think maybe that makes them feel good, but it really, try to think of your audience, you know, we can't hear you.
Well, see, I have a thing here on this show and what we'd like to do is say the S word on this program. We'd like to say it more often. It's in almost every clip now. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody gets to say it on network news. And it's in these network clips that I'm trying to play on this show. I think, you know, someday we'll get to that point. Just like hell, you know, just like damn made it.
But do we have to? You know, I mean, is it inevitable that we go?
We have to. I'm sorry to break the news to you.
I just worried that maybe that's a little too much exposure to Catherine down there. You know, the station manager has maybe warped your view of language.
Yes, maybe.
Although I like I said before, nothing taught me to swear like TV and radio behind the scenes. You know, especially in the headset.
There you go.
Yeah, I learned words from my first TV director when I was operating the camera. And I mean, you wish it could be as family friendly as, damn it, Kreitlow, why are you doing that? It's like, no.
It was far beyond that.
It's almost a magical experience, really. I mean, we do swear off the air, but for some reason, when that microphone is open, we don't do it. I don't know. It's magic.
You have to. It's like working at the lumberyard and knowing not to put your hand in the saw. You know, it's just, it just comes.
Okay. You know, I like that.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
There you go.
So I mentioned a couple times, it was just a gorgeous weather weekend and we hit the fall festival in downtown Eau Claire over the weekend. Were you guys at any particular events or was it a good, you know, kind of yard work weekend?
I was at a big event in Milwaukee. I went to see Ringo Starr.
Oh,
Ringo Starr.
And his all-star band. Yes. And John actually purchased a a Ringo Starr t-shirt for me.
Oh, look at that. A peace and love with a peace symbol on there.
Peace and love.
There's Ringo. Peace, love, and Ringo. Oh, I like it.
See, isn't that incredible? It's just wonderful. What a great experience.
Thank you.
Seeing Ringo do all the songs that he actually sang with the Beatles.
Nice.
Thank God they made him a singer in some of the songs, you know.
Did that t-shirt actually cost you $100? Because I feel like concert t-shirts are getting outrageous now.
Well, it was $40.
$40? Really? You spent that much? This is the first time he's ever given me anything in 40 years.
Well, Gordy has given me things, but it's because he's just cleaning house.
Yes. I gave you a banjo.
That's
that
right.
I picked
you
up
didn't
for
want
20...
it anymore. That's why you gave it to me.
I picked it up for $25 at a garage sale. And then
Wait, do one of you play a banjo?
I used to play banjo. Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was the inspiration Steve Martin or Kermit the Frog or somebody else?
Five-string banjo, more like Steve Martin, maybe.
This was actually a guitar banjo.
But it's a guitar
It looks
banjo.
Exactly like a banjo. I mean, it plays like a banjo, looks like a but banjo, but it's actually got six strings and tuned like a guitar.
Like a guitar, yeah.
Oh, so interesting. Okay.
That's weird.
Did you either last night or at other things like the Oscars, do you watch any of the red carpet coverage and look at the outfits and try
saw
to
a little I saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, my wife Anne loves watching that stuff.
Yeah. Some people really do. And I mean, if we happen to be a couple of minutes early to the broadcast, we'll put on a little bit of it. And I just remember turning to Sherry and going, I can't pull that off. As Walter Goggins came in, is it White Lotus that he's on or one of the other shirts? He's got the slicked back hair.
Some weird, thing.
You know, he was dressed in white slacks, white shirt, white coat. And the shirt, of course, was open to the navel. And he had the gold chains on. I mean, it was as 70s as it gets. And I thought, that's a bold move in 2025. But, you know, he could pull it off. There was Jenna Ortega, who was basically she raided her grandma's jewelry box.
Right.
And instead of wearing an actual top, she was just wearing in chains all of these like brooches and other jewels and things.
I kept waiting for some strange movement of some sort, you know, accident.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to start a dance contest with her. And
the strange thing is she plays a young girl, like a teenager.
Yeah.
Wednesday
in
the
Adams,
shows
right.
that she's And to see her as an adult, I mean, she's in her twenties, early twenties. You know, it's just strange. It almost seems, wrong.
Wrong is maybe what you're looking for there.
Yeah.
But that's how, you know,
I know
people
I know.
Play roles that are either much younger or much older than them. You know, remember the first time, what's it called, the Wilford Brimley challenge or whatever, when an actor is actually older than they were when Wilford Brimley portrayed the old guy in Cocoon, you know?
Yes.
Or you look at Carol O'Connor when he played Archie Bunker. He was like 44 years old or something like that, you know, or 48, but not in his 60s the way that you would look.
Yeah.
And that goes both ways with people like Friends. You know, no group of people in their mid-30s is going to be living like that, but they're basically portraying people in their mid-20s.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a crazy show.
Yeah.
I love that.
It kind of makes you wonder what they think of all of us when we're on TV. First off, they think that I'm like 6'5". Well, you're a TV anchor. You must be 6 feet tall. Nope. Just this little guy sitting in the chair. And how many times you guys must get, you don't look like you sound at all on the radio.
That's right.
We get that. Yes.
People use their imaginations. They enjoy imagining us as very attractive young men. Don't they?
We want to posture that. So we're turning the camera off right now on John and Gordy to keep it all alive. So, we've only got about a minute left till break. So was there a principal primary topic from the show today that people are talking about in the Madison area?
Well, still Charlie Kirk. That's what we do here on the program.
Yep. We did a lot of that. And I lost track now. Somebody just put up a number of how many times Derek Van Orden has tweeted about it, threatening funds or hurling insults or whatever. I mean,
we got
it is
to that.
It's hundreds.
It's something else. He really is out there.
It really is.
By the way, he says we're in a civil war from now on. So there you go. That's Derek Van Orden.
That's what you want from a member of Congress there. Yeah. We're talking to John and Gordy from WMDX in Madison, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. And then coming up in our next half hour, we'll be talking to Jocasta Zamarripa, who is a candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State. Brewers were losers to the Cardinals yesterday, 3-2, but they still took 2 out of 3 off today, and they begin a series at home against the Los Angeles Angels tomorrow night. Live from the heart of America's up north, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Mondays. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
You know your audience, Art. Starting everything off with a polka band, that's the way to do it, man. Good.
I think 100 people will come just to see it. Oh, yeah, maybe 200, don't you
absolutely
think, just to see
at
the polka
least
band.
Let's see. We're going to find out.
And that's at the crack of noon.
Yeah. Great way. It's a good point.
So, and then we're representing jazz, too. We're trying to make it a variety show. And so the Joyful Little Band is coming in, and they are a traditional jazz band from Portage County that has recently emerged as a force in this music.
That's my wheelhouse. I love jazz, and I had not heard of them before, so I went on a little digging on and everything. They're good. That's a good band right there.
It's a very interesting band, and J.R. Omernick is an old friend of mine. He also plays bluegrass, which is, of course, in my wheelhouse, but he plays a heck of a jazz trombone. I mean, it's beautiful tone, and he can really get around on the instrument. And his wife, Beth, will play various instruments and sing. And his boys will play drums and occasionally piano. And then they've got a clarinet player that comes in regularly too. It's traditional New Orleans jazz, which is so rare these days.
Yeah. And to hear it played, you know, not only hear it played, but hear it's played so well is so refreshing, so nice. Yeah. To keep that style of music relevant and around is cool. Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning the family there too. There's something about that when you get to see a family band. Certainly something that hits the heart and is kind of cool. But I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle either. The chemistry that they're able to have as a band, the harmony, all this stuff that is so almost organic with a family band. That's part of what makes it. And then you throw that into jazz. Such a good fit. That's cool.
It's a great family. The Omernicks have been involved with community theater out in Rosholt, where they live too, and in Stevens Point. And so they've got lots of angles covered in the entertainment field.
Absolutely.
The music, the theater, and
covering acting. Their bases. Yeah. Now, all of these bands not only are incredibly talented, but have amazing names, and I love it when that happens. But one of my favorites is coming up here, Monday Night Takeout. That's a great name. It's a great name for a band.
Yeah, the Takeout. And they are one of the bands that alternate on Mondays at Holly Rocks, and they've been doing it for several years now. And it's a great group. It's a rock and roll group, and they're very versatile. They can back up people that come in and sit in with them at the Monday night shows every week. And just a powerhouse. Alex Quinnell on drums and Ben Chitek on guitar are the two guys that I know very well in the band, and most versatile musicians. Absolutely.
Well, we're extremely fortunate to be very familiar with those guys too, and bring them on the air with us many, many times. I don't know if there's a musician that's been on with us more than Ben. In fact, if Ben didn't have 1,500 bands he was in, he'd be here being our house band. Like, I've joked with him for years about that. I tease him and stuff, and there's a reason why he's in all those bands. One is just an incredible ear for this music and what he does, and whatever the genre is. He also has some of the smartest fingers I've seen. Like, he's just so darn talented and so good at what he does.
I can hardly believe it when I'm watching that man, what music comes out of that guitar of his. And he can sing, and just a wonderful musician.
Speaking of Ben, I believe he shows up in Double Duo right after that.
He does. He's going to play in Double Duo. And that's an interesting group, too. It's Wayne Jaworski, Pam Ross, and then Ben and Katie Chitek. And it's kind of a double...
Yeah.
Double duo.
It's very cool.
That's what they call themselves, mm-hmm. The double duo. And they play as duos and sometimes on their own as solos. And I just can't wait to hear what they bring
a
quartet.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. You put that many, those many talented musicians together, you know you're going to like it. You know it's going to sound good. It's just what they do and what songs they're going to do. I'm very curious about. I guarantee it's going to be good.
One good set, they could probably play four and just totally amaze everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're going to be talking about them here and there a bit more. That's going to be a lot of fun. Folk and Blues Brothers, another great name.
Oh, those guys. I've known Jeff Sachs for years. So he and Darren Walker met at a farmer's market and just kind of shook hands, and then ended up double booked at the same venue. And so here they had driven into this venue out of town, and both of them showed up, and the owner said, "Oh, I'm sorry, boys, I double booked you. Who wants to give up the night?" And they talked him into hiring them both, and they had never played together. And so they've been playing together since. That was years ago, and they've been playing together ever since. And now they have this band called the Folk and Blues group. And Folk and Blues, let's see, I've got to check my notes here.
Folk and
Blues Brothers.
Yes, Folk and Blues Brothers. I love the play on that. Certainly a big Blues Brothers guy. So just any play on that is always good to me. And as a side note, Art, thank you for that story. I could listen to you all day, man.
Oh, I've got another story, too. Okay. Darren Walker. Have you ever heard of the rhythm and blues guitarist T-Bone Walker from Texas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that is Darren Walker's great uncle.
Wow.
And, you know, T-Bone, back in the 40s and 50s, was a tremendous showman on the electric guitar, and he could play it behind his head, and he could play it with his tongue and between his legs, and Darren does that, too. So I'm kind of hoping he puts on those
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he does it at the sight. Friends of Rapids Music Fest. I really want to see that.
That's going
to
be fun. Yeah. That's going to be a good one. Got a great couple of acts to follow that, too.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Howard Lutke, he's really the only out-of-towner that's coming to the FRM Fest. He's from Chippewa Falls, and he's been active in the blues and R&B scene in Wisconsin as a ripping guitar player, especially on slide guitar, since the 1970s. Mm. And he's had his band Blue Max together since 1982, which includes his wife, Deb, and she's wonderful. Mm. And she's been in the band since, I think, 1987, and they've been married about that long, too.
Cool.
And so I've been a fan of that group, the Blue Max group, for a long, long time. Bill Weiss, the drummer, the longtime drummer. And I believe that Howard requested to book Pete Shank, our local keyboard player.
Cool. Nice.
As part of Blue Max for the FRM Fest. And they're actually doing a two-hour spot. So we'll get a big dose of blues and R&B from Howard and his group there.
And how cool of them to do that, to get that extended set there and everything. That's really cool. That's going to be great. And everything wraps up with an amazing band, too. The night wraps with this.
I have a good amount of experience with Adam Gruhl and his Space Burritos. He's a musical icon in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And started the successful group, the Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, which has gone to national prominence. They're a top act in string band music and jamgrass. And he also plays with...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of the legislature are considering their own security, Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared.
That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Nice to have you back on this Monday morning, September 15th, 8:35 is the time right now. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we are, well, we're like best buds. We're like peanut butter and jelly, weekday mornings from 6 until 9. And you can catch what we're doing at Up North News over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, which has state-based outlets around the country, podcasts, newsletters. One I'd like to tell you about is done by Melissa Ryan. It's called... Control Alt Right Delete, a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. Needless to say, she's following up on the Charlie Kirk killing and what the reaction says about America. Good stuff to be reading. Head over to couriernewsroom.com for that newsletter and much more. We are getting into talking about the candidates for the 2026 election for all kinds of posts. It all started with Tony Evers saying that he's not going to run for a third term as governor. And so this morning, State Senator Kelda Royce announced she's running for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley is running for governor. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is going to be running for governor. So who's going to run for lieutenant governor? Well, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced that she's going to be running for lieutenant governor. So who's going to be running for Secretary of State? I got your candidate right here. Jocasta Zamarripa, former legislator and now a Milwaukee Common Council member, joins us from the Milwaukee area. Jocasta, nice to see you again. How are you?
Good morning, Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for the invitation today.
My pleasure. Nice to have you here. We're going to get into the Secretary of State's office and why you're running for it and all of that in just a sec. But for folks who have not heard from you previously, we'd love to hear all about you. Give us a little bit about your own story that took you to where you are today.
Of course. Well, I was first elected back in 2010 when I won a seat on the in the state assembly. And so I served for nearly a decade, just about a decade in the state assembly, representing the near south side of the city of Milwaukee. I was honored to be the first Latina woman elected to the state legislature, following in Pedro Colon's footsteps, our first Latino to ever serve in the state legislature. And from there, after serving 10 years, decided to make the jump to local government. And I ran in 2020 successfully for the Milwaukee Common Council again, as a history maker, being the first Latina and first openly LGBTQ plus member of the Milwaukee Common Council. And now I'm ready to go for it and run statewide in hopes that Wisconsinites will have me and elect me to be our next Secretary of State.
Can you talk a bit about both your time on the Common Council in Milwaukee and as a legislator, the kinds of things that were high priority issues and or accomplishments for you?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I came in 2011, like it or not, it was a bittersweet time for us. We came in, if you recall, Pat Kreitlow, that was kind of the, what we referenced as the bloodbath for the Dems.
Right.
Scott Walker came in and, they swept in, had a majority in both houses, the assembly and the state Senate. And so they promptly came down with the budget repair bill and Act 10. And, we saw those historic protests, by labor, by teachers, by Wisconsinites from across the state, come down to our state capitol and protest, taking away the collective bargaining rights of public workers. And so that's what I came into in 2010. And it's funny, I don't know if I'm a bad luck charm, but that was 2010 when I was elected, coming in 2011. In 2020, I was elected to the Common Council in the height of the pandemic. which was a very nightmarish time for a candidate. As you can imagine, we had to come off the doors. And you know, Pat, that in local elections, smaller elections, knocking on doors, door canvassing is the lifeblood of a successful campaign. I had to come off the doors in the middle of my campaign and got elected again at the height of the pandemic when everything was virtual. And it was pretty traumatic, both my initial inauguration in 2011 as a state legislator and again, my initial swearing in as an alder in 2020. It's an interesting narrative.
You deserve a normal cycle. I think you've got that coming for you. What kinds of things do you especially like working on as a legislator and a common council member?
You know, in the legislature, I was seen as the go-to for immigration policy, for pro-immigration policy. I was honored to work with my own Democratic colleagues. And believe it or not, there was a time that there were Republicans who were wanting to see things like comprehensive immigration reform, things like driver's licenses for undocumented Wisconsinites. We know that there are many workers in our state that want to get to work safely to and from work, get their children to and from school safely. And so these were really, I was seen as kind of the point person on immigration reform, but I also did some things that folks don't even realize. A lot of small business policy, working on our alcohol policy in the state. I'm the one who helped pass a bipartisan bill to allow local distillers to be able to sample their products, just a teeny, you know, 1 ounce, half an ounce sample at grocers and retailers. And this really opened the door for so many of our local distillers to be able to compete with their national counterparts.
We're talking to Jocasta Zamarripa. She's a candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State. Why Secretary of State? What made you want to run for this statewide position in 2026?
Well, honestly, Pat, I'll tell you, I was looking at LG, Lieutenant Governor. I thought that I'd make a really excellent Lieutenant Governor. I was looking at that position seriously, knowing that Tony may bow out. And so when he did, I thought I would make a play for Lieutenant Governor. But upon hearing about Sarah Godlewski's intentions to run for LG, I think that she is an amazing candidate. I think she's been great as our treasurer, as our Secretary of State, having already tried to run for a statewide seat. And so I decided to go ahead and re-examine. I thought, well, you know, I would be honored to be her successor. She's done some great work as our Secretary of State, and I'd love to succeed both she and Doug LaFollette and continue to serve in this office as a Democrat. And we need that right now more than ever.
Yes, and here's why. It's really, yes, there are duties that come with Secretary of State, and prior to that, Sarah Godlewski served as state treasurer. But there's just also a lot to be said for winning and holding the office. We know that Republicans in the legislature took away a lot of duties from both positions. We're talking about eliminating state treasurer. But when it gets to Secretary of State, while they have watered down the duties so much, they're also, they've indicated they are more than ready. If they were to win the governor's race and hold the legislature, they would turn that Secretary of State's office into, you know, an election overseer that would be, let's just say, not exactly unbiased, correct? And so there's a lot of importance to holding that office so that, frankly, it can't be abused.
Exactly, Pat. This is one of the reasons why more than a Secretary of State position, the Democrats have to retain this. We know what they've done already in this election denying nonsense. We know that there was some hullabaloo over Supreme Court Justice Protasiewicz's oath of office. The Secretary of State maintains the oaths of office. And so we need to make sure we have a Democrat that's not in that office that is not going to have any shenanigans going on. We have to make sure to keep it out of Republican hands at every cost.
Yeah, for folks who would say, well, wait a minute, we have the Wisconsin Elections Commission for that. Well, the whole reason we have a Wisconsin Elections Commission is that when Republicans took control of the legislature, they got rid of the Government Accountability Board, which was acting on a much higher level with retired judges who were fair arbiters. They created this Wisconsin Elections Commission, which is designed to have a 3-3 deadlock. They created something with 3 Republican members, 3 Democratic members. And so sometimes it works quite well. but sometimes there's deadlock, and there's nothing that says, like I said earlier, they couldn't then replace the Wisconsin Elections Commission with a single Republican Secretary of State and do goodness knows what to election administration, which you hear about firsthand, Jocasta, because it seems like every election cycle you get the, oh, Milwaukee's numbers are coming in late. There must be something suspicious going on in Milwaukee, when, you know, the real story is nothing like that.
Absolutely. And I've been, of course, as you can imagine, I'm an old war horse. I've been through many election cycles. I have seen the Republicans that come out to Milwaukee and try to harass and intimidate voters as they try to go to their polling location. So I can only imagine what a nightmare it would be for us if a Republican were to get their hands on the Secretary of State office. So I'm hoping to get out there and meet Wisconsinites from every corner of the state and earn their support next year in August for the primary and November for the general.
That's right. Jocasta Zamarripa is running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And as always, we tend to find candidates when they're on the road here and there. You're on the road, but you're in the hometown because you've got Hispanic Heritage Month kicking off. And we did explain earlier in the show why Hispanic Heritage Month begins on September 15th, in the middle of the month. And it's because so many countries in Central America declared their independence on this day. Can you talk just a bit more about Hispanic Heritage Month and the importance of marking it as you're doing today?
Yes. Yes, we are. Thank you, Pat, for that. We are kicking off this past weekend. We kicked off Hispanic Heritage Month. We know that I am Mexican-American. Mexico celebrates its Independence Day. I believe it was yesterday. And so you'll see a lot of festivities going on. But as you said, it's Independence Day for many Latin American countries. And so it's important that we continue to celebrate our Latino community here in Wisconsin. We are the fastest growing population in the great state of Wisconsin. And so now more than ever, especially because so many Latino and immigrant families are under attack, in particular by the federal government under President Trump, it's really important that we lift up these folks. We want to make sure that Latinos are part of the fabric of the great state of Wisconsin, just like our German and Polish neighbors before us. We too are immigrants who came to this great state and want to add to its culture and value and economics. And so I'm eager to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Latinos, with Wisconsinites across the board.
Well, and also making sure that there isn't that you minimize the degree of intimidation, because we've seen that in Milwaukee, too. We've seen billboards and other messages talking all about voter fraud and making people almost afraid to go vote. And so having you on the ballot and as an active candidate seems to me like that can play a real positive role in encouraging voter turnout and voter registration.
Absolutely. And of course, I want to represent all Wisconsinites here in the great state of Wisconsin. But as a history maker, as somebody who was the first Latina woman in a couple of governmental bodies, I do see the value of having that diversity on the ticket. I want to galvanize our Latino electorate. I want to get them voting. If they have the right to vote, I want them to vote in every election. And of course, as a Democrat, I want them to vote Democrat. We have seen over the last few election cycles that we are hemorrhaging some Latino voters to the conservative side. And I just can't have that. It's one of the reasons that I was inspired to run statewide in hopes of being that voice for, the fastest growing population in the great state of Wisconsin, our Hispanic community.
And now you hear how it is that she came to be 10 years in the legislature and all these years on the Common Council, and now a candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State, Jocasta Zamarripa. So good to talk to you as always. Safe travels to you, and thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Pat Kreitlow.
All right. Have a great day. Good to see you. When we come back, a somewhat familiar face and voice, a globetrotter, a traveler of sorts, you might remember her, Jane Mattinair. Is her name, and we'll catch up with her at kind of where in the world is Jane Mattinair. It turns out it might actually be back in a radio studio, so we'll talk about her travels when we come back. Tomorrow we're going to have Dan Schaefer, Cam Stevenson, and Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander, so join us tomorrow morning as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You have your club card.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Now, along with all the usual sites, the Civic Media website, Civic Media Facebook page, Civic Media YouTube page, where you can watch us do the show. You can also do that at the Up North News Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page. But then if you want more and more place to surf to and get updates on things, this show has a Facebook page. Just head over to Facebook.com and look for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and you'll find we run the video feed there as well. And other things of interest, like when Kelda Royce announced her run for governor early this morning, and other news and notes throughout the course of the day. I'd love to have you following me on social media. Somebody that I used to follow, I can follow her again because she's back. Jane Matinair, American tourist, is back here in the States now after going to one of her favorite places, which is also my new favorite place, and that would be Portugal. Jane, how are you? Welcome back. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. That was my button, not your button. Jane, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It is always reassuring when my key card still works because, you know, yep. You show up after a couple of weeks and it's like, well, we'll give it a try. Maybe it'll, yes, and it still works. So they allowed me in the building.
Which was just a joke before this administration. Now you've got thousands of people who show up to work and their key card doesn't work. And it's like, You're fired. It's just not it's not a joke anymore. But of course you are welcomed with open arms. I know you haven't been back that long, but could you go ahead and give Greg Bach a grade right now if you had the report card for filling in for you for these past couple of weeks?
I would give him an A.
Listening. Okay, I'm sorry. You can tell me the real grade later. That's totally understandable.
From what I understand, Craig and Calvin did a great job, and Angela Lang was here along with our regulars like you and Todd Alba and also Jim Santel, of course. So, no, I have no... I knew the show would be in good hands. I knew I could trust Greg.
Aw, and that is very kind, but I also know you and I are at an age now where we're like, I don't care. I'm going anyway. You know, burn it down.
Well, I wasn't going to not go. That's true.
That's exactly it. And again, I made my first trip to Portugal this year and absolutely just fell in love. And it's a place you've been to, like the friends of ours who introduced us to Portugal. You are already a fan.
Yes, this was our third or fourth time in Portugal. We spent a lot of time on the southern coast. It's called the Algarve, is that area, the southern coast of Portugal. But we did travel to one of your favorite spots. We were in Porto, I believe it's the second largest city in Portugal after Lisbon. And another one of those great old historic cobblestoned cities. And my husband drives. We always rent a car. I have so much respect for him, especially in driving in a city like Porto, where the GPS sends you down roads that you are not quite sure. Are we really supposed to be here? Because I can, if I open the car window, I can touch this building.
Oh, I feel like I could touch it without opening the window.
And my husband could touch the other side of the buildings. And there's still people walking. And so, that always makes me a little anxious. But my husband does a great, great job.
Yeah, the same goes for Nazaré, which is just south of there.
Nazaré is so great.
Oh, but these streets are, they were not designed for automobiles.
No.
And yet, your GPS will send you down there and go, oh, you just head down this street. Not a street. I mean, technically it is. You see the cars.
Yes.
But it is a character builder in terms of driving. But again, just gorgeous because Portugal's tourism economy is still relatively new. They weren't a democracy until 50 years ago.
Right.
And so, there are still people discovering Portugal, and we are already just itching to go back there. So I'm glad you got a chance to go see it again. Did you get out to the Douro Valley where they have all those terraced vineyards and where all the port wine grapes come from?
We did not. We did not tour the Douro Valley. Again, we just kind of knocked around Porto for a day and stayed at a very nice hotel. But it was about 5.5 hours from where we were based.
Sure.
So we just spent a fair amount of time on the road that day and kind of took our time, which is the nice thing when you're on holiday. We all would look at each other. It's like, well, we're not late for anything.
No.
You know, we can take this can take as long or as little time as we like.
And the castles. I mean, every time you turn around, there's another medieval castle that's there, you know, hasn't been reduced to rubble yet.
Yeah. We love old rocks. My husband and I are big old architecture fans. And the people are so lovely. And the food is fantastic.
Oh, the food. Oh, my goodness. Because, you're on the sea, to begin with. So much seafood. But just everything.
Everything. There. And the freshness of the vegetables and the tomatoes and just all of those things. I don't know. It's probably part of the little magical envelope you're in when you travel and you're a tourist somewhere, that everything tastes remarkable. But there is something about their produce, I think, that's just pretty special.
There is, without a doubt. So I'm glad you had a great time. And then you've got some of our regulars. It's like comfort food for guests. You've got the comfort food of Dr. Lyerly and Sholly Pittman coming in today on the show.
Yep. Sholly Pittman is going to join us after the 9:30 news. We have a new name in the governor's race. So we're going to kick that around a little bit. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. Measles, of course, cases. Yay. Continuing to grow in Wisconsin. And what does that mean for the rest of us?
Yeah. I mean, how is this still a thing?
I know.
I know. So, that gets asked someplace else, but yes.
Right. And then we're going to lighten things up. We always do for the last half an hour of the show. So we're going to do audio sorbet, where Greg and Calvin are going to bring me up to speed on things they think I missed. And then we'll wrap it up. It should be a good one. And then we'll wrap it up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." Today it is the See You Later Alligator edition. So stay tuned for that.
So much. And then, like you said, you'll be talking about Kelda Roy's jumping in the governor's race. Maggie Dawn later today. We'll have Ryan Stern, another candidate for governor, who is running as well. And I'm pretty confident that there's going to be more announcements in the coming days here. So
yeah,
things are just starting to ramp up. Jane Mattinara, catch your weekdays from 9 to 11. And she's back. That's just all you can say. She's here on time. She's not like, not on vacation time anymore.
No, back on real time.
Back to the real grind. All right. Thank you, Jane. Have a wonderful day. All right. And thanks to all of you for being part of things today. Again, tomorrow on the program will be our typical Tuesday where we talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom in Washington, D.C. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Find them at couriernewsroom.com and find us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. bright and early back here up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent just confirmed TikTok will not go away here.
The two leaders, President Trump and Party Chair Xi, will speak on Friday to complete the deal. But we do have a framework for a deal with TikTok.
A breakthrough in the Charlie Kirk assassination case. FBI Director Kash Patel tells Fox.
The DNA hits from the towel that was wrapped around the firearm and the DNA on the screwdriver are positively processed for the suspect in custody.
Officials say the 22-year-old is not cooperating with investigators, but his roommate and romantic partner is. Secretary of State Rubio's headed to Qatar after pledging full U.S. support for Israel during a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem today.
The people of Gaza deserve a better future, one that cannot begin until Hamas is eliminated.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.